and then take the ask the committee secretary to give us apologies.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, GM and colleagues. Chair, I received the apology of Advocate Bongo, indicated that he has got a flu. And then I also received an apology for Honorable Bewa, who has also been booked by the doctor. And then I also received an apology of Honorable Mishwe. She said she couldn't make it for the meeting. So those are the apologies I received from the side of the members. Then I received a letter from the Director General of the Department, who also extended an apology and indicated that in the meeting, the delegation, there will be a GM, and then it will be followed by Mr. Mahoto, an acting deputy director general, Mr. Ndobuhle Mkhumane. So those are the apologies that I received. Thank you.
My understanding is that Mr. Ndobuhle Mkhumane is no longer. Has that been reversed in the department?
So I was referring to acting Mr. Mahoto, Mr. Mjaluf Mahoto, and the Mr. Ndobuhle Mkhumane, the Deputy Director General for Enterprise Development.
Mr. Ndobuhle Mkhumane, the DDG, Ukulumengo, Mr. Mahoto. And the impression given was that you are saying Mr. Ndobuhle Mkhumane is the acting DDG. That is why I there. Because this thing of acting, you think that's I think we must try and eliminate all the things that makes us not to see eye to eye. You need a smile from my face. And I also want to smile because I don't want to have ranking. Thank you. SDF.
The apology of the minister who is outside the country on official business.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to refer to a written question which I put to the Minister a couple of months ago in regard to the process for replacing the DG when her term of office comes to an end at the end of this month. And she indicated in that response that there would be a transitionary period, which implies that somebody would have been found to replace Professor Fries. And I just wanted to get, bearing in mind we've got two more days of this month to go from the department or the DM, whether they could update the committee on that process.
When I develop a program, we sit as a management to deal with the program. Most of them hijack a manager, also know what is called something which is not on the agenda of the questions that were posed to the minister, and then you want the DM to respond to them. You are putting that through the window now. Maybe you can propose an additional item on the program and then we'll deal with that.
If you're happy to have that added, Chairperson, yes, I would like to put that on the program.
I'm I'm saying that we can't have an agenda and then an item that is not on the agenda gets in through the wind. The best way of doing that is to propose an amendment to the agenda to then have that as part of the agenda. That is a better way of handling that issue. It is a normal procedure of meetings. If there is an additional item, we can look at that and then allow the meeting to deal with it.
Okay, in that case, Chair, I propose that we add an item to the agenda to have an update from the department.
An item is being proposed to be added on the agenda. What are the other members saying about that? No transmission from my side. So we'll deal with that towards the end. Thanks. Can we then ask the department?
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity to attend to item number 3, which is our response as a department to an item which is before the committee on the proposed bill on the Ombud Services bill, which you deliberated on last week. I think the secretary, as he was reading the apology from the Director General, indicated that the acting DDG will be leading the delegation for purposes of the item on the agenda, and that yes, indeed, the DDG has been appointed as DDG. That decision has not been rescinded. And that we also share your view that we should try as far as possible to do away with acting positions, because that does not contribute towards stabilizing the department. We take note of that, and we'll make sure that we process that comment accordingly. We have structured the response to this question in a manner that explains broadly where we are with regard to the challenges that are facing small businesses and the legal framework within which they are operating. And for that, with your permission, Chair, allow me to request the acting DDG Mohoto to make a presentation on behalf of the department. Over to you, acting DDG.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Good morning to the Honourable Chairperson. Good morning to Honourable Members, and good morning to colleagues. The presentation that we are making is structured in three parts. Firstly, we're going to be talking about the amendment or the progress to the amendment of the National Small Business Act. We're going to be talking about the updating of the Schedule 1 of the National Small Business Small Enterprise Act. And we're going to be talking about the alternative dispute resolution, which is the core part of the presentation today. Chairperson, first of all, we want to talk about the definition of small business. And why we actually alluding to the definition is because we have a case in terms of where we are going with this, especially when we talk about the inclusion of the cooperative enterprises in the definition of the Small Enterprise Act. And by the way, when we are engaging with the Office of the State Law Advisors, we were actually pointed to the fact that the Small Business Act is now the Small Enterprise Act, given the review that was done in 2004 when the amendment of the National Small Business Act was done to include institutional arrangement, particularly the establishment of CEDA. But we're going to talk about this later on. The first part that we're going to be discussing is the amendment of the National Small Enterprise Act 102, 1996, as amended, and the purpose of the amendment, background, legislation, progress, and stakeholder consultation. But in the main, we're going to be talking about the proposed areas of amendment of this particular piece of legislation. Chair, allow me to, before I actually dwell much into that particular amendment, talk about a policy context in terms of where we're coming from in terms of this particular legislation. We're alluding on the slide, I hope you can see the number of slides, it's slide number 5, where we're talking about the mandate paper that was adopted by Cabinet in 2017. The fact that it alludes to the imperative of small businesses being the job creators in the country, and hence the priority of the sector itself. And also the State of the Nation address that was done in 2018, where there's also a mention of the fact that small businesses are the drivers of the economy, and therefore DSBD has to come up with high impact initiatives. We allude to the fact that since the promulgation of the National Small Enterprise Act, there has been multiplicity of complex changes in the process. We have seen also the economy moving towards different directions during this time. And we also allude to the fact that in 1995, the South African government came up with the very first policy on small business development in the country, white paper on national strategy for development program, promotion of small business in South Africa. And we're still very much in touch with that particular policy in whatever we are doing. And we further allude to the fact that the white paper identified a number of constraints, and one of these constraints is the regulatory or legal and regulatory environment. And we then talk about, as we talk about the National Small Enterprise Act, we talk about the fact that the white paper itself pointed to the establishment of the or the promulgation of the National Small Enterprise Act in 1996 in order to establish the institutions that will support that particular policy. So this is the policy context that we want to actually map up before we actually talk about the actual issue. Further to that, we want to actually on slide 6 to talk about the evolution then of this particular piece of legislation since that time, up until the amendment of 2004. And on slide 7, we talk about the fact that the particular legislation is highly, as it exists now, highly administrative rather than developmental in its approach. And this is one of the rationale in terms of us looking at the amendment of the particular legislation. And we go further to slide 8 to talk about the process that we're supposed to embark upon in terms of this particular amendment. And we want to emphasize the fact that these are the processes that we have to follow to the latter in terms of coming up with the legislation or amendment to that effect, so that we don't have comebacks in terms of the processes that we have actually embarked upon. And Chair, I want to go to the slide, I think it's slide 11, that actually talk about the current state in terms of these processes that I've just mapped out. That slide talked about in terms of where we are, which is at the drafting stage. and it actually mapped out the areas that were are supposed to be done by the department in this processes of in this process of drafting, which include also the engagement that we have already done and we still continue to do with the Office of State Law Advisors. That's the process that we talked about in the context of the policy. Now, when it comes to the progress to date, we in terms of that outline, talk about the stakeholder consultation, research that we have conducted, and the proposed amendment areas that we want to propose, and the content development to that effect. Then when we go to slide 13, we talk about the stakeholder engagement, and then we have engaged these stakeholders to actually solicit some inputs from the sector so that we can be able to, as we amend the legislation, we manage to gather all the inputs that we need and all the areas that we need to actually focus on in terms of this amendment. Our consultation commenced with the provincial consultation. We actually crisscrossed around the country, went to every province to actually consult with the provinces. As you recall, that there are provincial economic development departments that are implementing some of our legislation and policies. And we work with these departments in order to actually consult with the stakeholders in those particular provinces. And this culminated then with the national consultations that were hosted in Gauteng, which are now all combined or encapsulate all the consultations that we have done at a provincial level. And as we go to slide 15, we now talk about the in beefing our information in terms of also evidence-based policy making. We looked at the research that we have conducted over the particular period so that we can be able to input to this particular process. One of the reports talks about the report for the Ministry of Small Business on Government of the Republic of South Africa in 2014. And that particular study was looking at the review of the relevant policies and strategies and laws affecting small businesses. And then we go to slide 16, we talk about the review and update of South Africa small and medium enterprise sector definition, because we wanted to look at what is happening in terms of the usage and the definition areas that are existing in the country. And further, we look at the comparative analysis of SMME legislation from 8 particular countries that we selected. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. As we go to slide number 17, we also conducted what we call Small Enterprise Ecosystem Review, so that we can actually particularly look at what is the niche of the department around this particular ecosystem that is existing in terms of small business development. One of the studies that is particularly important for us is the annual review on status of small business and cooperatives in the country, which is supposed to do on annual basis, but we are currently looking at the possibilities of actually doing this within a particular, within two to three years. So that we can actually give a bit of time to look at the previous study. But that particular study is actually talking about the trend analysis, exposing some trends in terms of what is the performance of the sector in a particular year in terms of the intervention that both government and private sector have put in place. And then the last study, I think, if I recall, is the evaluation of integrated strategy on promotion of entrepreneurship. This particular evaluation, looking at the enterprise ecosystem, is meant to look at the effectiveness in the implementation of the integrated strategy so that we can come up with particular plans, action plans, in terms of actually beefing up our capacity and also looking at how effective we can implement the strategy before we can actually do the overall overall review of that particular strategy. Chair, I'm on slide number 19, where we're talking about the proposed areas that we're looking at in terms of amendment. And we're talking about the fact that we need to align this particular amendment with the 1995 white paper, as I've already alluded to. And then we need to review the institutional mechanisms that are already existing. We look at the revision of the definition and the revise the use of the proxies in that particular definition. On slide number 20, we're talking about also re-looking at the provisions of the legislation, particularly section 18, that talks about determination of guidelines that the minister can from time to time issue in order to provide some guidance in the sector for particular departments and the provincial departments to be actually look at what, how effective we can be able to implement the policies and strategies that we have. And we're looking at section 19 as well in terms of the annual review status of small businesses, where the minister is actually required in terms of legislation to issue those, to look at those annual trends of the performance of the sector. And also we're looking at regulations and amendment of the schedule, where the minister is required in terms of section 20 or is empowered to actually issue regulations. And we're going to talk about these later, why we actually alluding to these sections. And then section slide number 20 is still actually talking about areas that we are looking at in terms of the particular review of the legislation. And then we want to really just to pause a little bit on section on slide number 22 to actually allude to the fact that initially our review of the legislation was actually looking at amendment of the existing provisions of the Act. At least we knew that quite a number of things would come up in terms of our when we're doing the consultation with the sector across the board. And therefore, there are particular inclusions that have been put that drive us towards the point of actually redrafting the actual legislation itself so that we can actually bring those inclusions to the fore. And I'm going to talk about some of these things as I go along with the presentation. Chair, in terms of the next steps in terms of this work, we're talking on slide 23 about the fact that given the fact that we have the EU donor funding that we have secured as a department, we're seeking technical support from the EU fund in order to rope in some technical support which is local South Africans to actually look at this particular legislation. And we want to emphasize that EU is not going to actually assist us in terms of actually driving the process of amending the legislation. It's going to assist us in terms of the technical support that actually funds the technical aspect to work on this, which we are looking at the South African technical aspect. Now we jumping into part B of our presentation, Chair, where we're talking about a little bit about the update of Schedule 1 of the National Enterprise Act. And there we're going to be talking about the purpose of this Act, but more specifically we're going to be dwelling much in terms of current processes and the next steps that we are taking in terms of amending or reviewing this particular schedule. And our purpose really is to, the process is to bring to the fore what we call single version of truth in order to say all those who are utilizing the legislation across the country should be able to apply the definition as it exists in the legislation. And also we should be able to harmonize, to begin to harmonize some of the pieces of legislation or definitions that are existing across the country. This is what we are seeking to do. And therefore, that's why on slide 26, we are alluding to the fact that we have found that the schedule provides for three proxies, namely employment, turnover, and asset value. And we have to look at these in terms of the practicality, how do we actually make sure that these are actually practical in terms of that particular application. Because, one of the challenges that we've been having, especially about the asset value, is its applicability and its complexity. And we want to actually try to review whether we should be able to utilize that particular proxy, or we should follow the examples of some international practices to look at particular proxies without necessarily talking about the asset value. Slide 27, we allude to the fact that the majority, as I already mentioned, of government departments, entities, agencies, and businesses did not make use of the national small enterprise definition in the past. And we found that there are various pieces of legislation that are defining small businesses differently. That's why then we want to bring that harmonization in our application of the legislation. Chair, I'm not going to dwell much on slide 28, just to allude to the fact that we are looking at the four size classes of the categories in the SMME sector. And then we're looking at that in terms of how we can actually review that, and also the issue that I've already alluded to, the asset value, in terms of how we can look at that. And then the overall results, if you look at slide 29, that we are looking at is to the resultant outcome of this process is to produce a legislation or definition that will be actually be applicable across the SMME space in terms of the implementation of the products and services that we do, and also that are implemented elsewhere by not necessarily the department. And the next step then is basically to look at in terms of Section 20 of National Small Enterprise Act schedule in terms of amendment without going through legislative amendment processes. I've already alluded to the fact that in terms of Section 20, the minister is empowered to issue regulations and amendment to the schedule itself without necessarily following the legislative process of actually drafting the act. However, we're also saying, as we look at the broader view of amendment of the legislation, we're going to be actually looking at a particular definition in terms of the applicability and all that. Then, Chair, let me really go to C, talk about alternative dispute resolution mechanisms as we look at the slide 31. And those are the areas that we're going to be talking about in terms of the outline in that particular section of this presentation. And in the main, however, we're actually lifting up the issue of the tribunal as an anchor towards addressing the problems of the disputes that are arising out of small businesses in the country. And we're going to talk at length on that. Just to introduce the subject on this part is to talk about the key strategic objective of the department itself, that of advocating a fair, conducive, and productive environment for small businesses in the country. So this is what is driving our work, and the aim is to motivate for the establishment of then small enterprise tribunal that will actually deal with the issues that are pertinent to the disputes that are arising out of small businesses that needs to be resolved. And then going to slide number 33, Chair, we're mapping up now the problem statement in terms of what are the issues that are really challenging us in this particular area around the issues of dispute. And we allude to the fact that we've been grappling with this issue for the number of years. And if you look at the study that we undertaken, the Rethinking Small Business Support in South Africa in 2011, it basically alludes to the fact that the small businesses in the country, they've got no access to quick and affordable legal processes. And then we list the following challenges, and then I'm not going to mention all of them, but touch few of those challenges. We say small enterprises are more vulnerable to unfavorable or unfair practices and often do not have the resources to challenge these. And this is one of the pertinent issues that we want to actually flag, that the issue of costs in terms of small businesses being able to address their dispute is the core element of the issue that we are actually dealing with. But also, just to emphasize that what we're also grappling with is the large firms that are actually dominant in terms of their transaction with the small businesses. And this is the issue that we need to address, and this is the issue that the Portfolio Committee has been grappling with in the main. And then we go further, as you see on slide number 34, we're actually lifting up some of these things. And then slide number 35, we alluding to the fact that there is no mechanism in place to champion the cost of the small enterprise. Therefore, there is no need, there's a high need of for alternative dispute resolution mechanism in the country, in whatever form or type. And I think the amendment that we are actually putting in place is going to come up with this particular intervention. Chairperson, we also lifting up some of the things that are emerging as we look at this particular topic. The equality, for instance, in terms of the constitution, the property on slide 36, and then if you go to slide 37, we talk about access to courts, which is the access to justice for small businesses. And we allude to the fact that everyone has a right to have a dispute that can be resolved by the application of the law decided in a fair public hearing before a court, or where appropriate, another independent, impartial tribunal or forum. And also we're talking about the security services that are actually highlighted by the Constitution. And I touched on the fact that this issue of disputes or challenges that are facing small businesses, they have been there since the inception of the policy, the very first policy that was adopted by the South African government. If we look at, for instance, that slide number 38, it talks about it is generally known that small enterprises often find it difficult, financially or for other reasons, to avail themselves to due process of the law in order to defend their interests. And this is actually at the core center of our argument that we need to have this alternative dispute mechanism. And then we allude to the National Small Business Strategy objective, and go to the fact that on page slide 39, that to talk about also the National Development Plan weighs in on this particular matter as well, raising this issue from the broader perspective of social protection. And it says social protection system have responded to the growth of temporary and part-time contracts and increasing importance of self-employment. So there are various number of legislation that are touching to this particular fact. We drive to the motivation of the fact that we need to come up with this particular mechanism. And the current redress mechanisms that we actually want to allude to in terms of saying, in the absence of the legislation, standalone legislation, or legislation that is encapsulated in the current legislative regime, there are various mechanisms that have been used in the past. One of these mechanisms is the SMME payment hotline that was being implemented by CEDA since 2010 from the DTI and was actually handed over to DSPD. And as we go to slide number 41, we highlight the fact that the effectiveness of this particular instrument, as you can see, just over the period of 5 years, it actually managed to facilitate payments to the amount of $500 million to small enterprises. So that was how effective that instrument was, albeit the instrument focusing only on the late payments for small businesses. We go on in talking about some of these current redress and allude to the fact that the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation has also is also seized with this particular issue. As you would recall, the DPME has been actually trying to address the issue of broadly looking at how can we address delay payments, not only on small businesses, but all across all the transactions that businesses are doing with government. And on slide 45, we're talking about the number of invoices paid after 30 days by the national department, which actually DPME alludes to the fact that they remain a concern, and they amount to 1.3 billion that is owed to the service providers. And that also the performance of provincial departments has a greater cause for concern in the last few years. And this particular concern from the DPME perspective highlights to the fact that about 57,000 invoices to the value of 5 billion were paid after 30 days out of the transaction, which is quite a concern across government itself, in particular the small businesses that we are dealing with. Now, if we expand that argument also on slide 46, we talk about the provincial breakdown in terms of these invoices. And just to touch on the, for instance, the provinces that if you look at the KZN, for instance, 7,000 invoices to the value of 1.4 billion that were paid after 30 days. And therefore, you look at also other provinces, Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and others in terms of that breakdown. So it's just building the fact that there's quite a concern that needs to be addressed to that. Now, having talked about that particular, building that particular case and looking at that particular current redress that is actually existing, we have looked at the number of institutional mechanisms that are existing in the country. And all disputes are different, and we understand that. While some may be resolved through existing mechanisms like ombudsmen of different sectors, some require legal intervention due to their complexity and the nature. And therefore, we talk about the fact that given that complexity and nature and legality that is required, you have a plethora of institutional mechanisms that is existing in the country. And those are the institutions. I'm not going to be able to highlight those. You can see them in the presentation. But just to point to the fact that there are also the tribunal. For instance, we're talking competition tribunal. Later on, and in a few minutes, I'm going to be talking about the cooperative tribunal, which is the actual instrument that we actually have in as DSBD. Honorable Chair, we have, as we look at this work, done also a bit of comparative analysis with various countries, including also some of the BRICS member countries, to look at the legislation, pieces of legislation in terms of how are they trying to address this particular issue. And we came across a various number of pieces of legislation. And for instance, you look at the United Kingdom, they have Enterprise Act 2016. You look at Brazil, they have National Statute of Micro Enterprises, Small Businesses in 2019. And then you look at the India, for instance, also they have Micro, Small and Medium Enterprise Development Act. That talks about delay payment to the micro and small enterprises. And you go on and look at Malaysia, there's also an example that we can draw out of that. And then also one of the African countries, which is Kenya, you can also draw some of the examples in terms of how they have actually particularly tried to address this particular issue. Now, coming to our own instrument, we have our own instrument that we actually have come up with in terms of the Cooperative Amendment Act of 2013. Which came up with the Cooperative Tribunal, of which its mandate is to deal with issues of conflict and dispute resolution among cooperatives and cooperative members. And we see this work, Chairperson, as an anchor towards the process that we want to actually drive around the Small Enterprise Tribunal. On slide 52, we talk about the legal status of the and the composition of that cooperative tribunal itself. And then if we look at the bullet number 3, it talks about we must assist with the judicial management, winding up and deregistration, conflict resolution and liquidation of cooperative and conducting of investigations. So it actually takes us to the core of how best we can begin to address this particular problem that we have, using that as an anchor once we actually encapsulate and bring in the enterprise element into it. And then slide 53 talks about the functions of that particular tribunal. And as I skip to slide 54, we talk about also some of the processes that are very interesting on our part that we've been engaging with over the past few weeks around the amendment of the competition legislation, Competition Amendment Bill, which is currently, since yesterday, is actually at a public hearings in Parliament here. And we beginning to unearth out of that process some of pertinent issues that are challenging small businesses, in the main driven by dominant firms that are actually squeezing out small businesses in their operation and transaction. And the competition amendment bill is beginning to unearth these things to say how best these can be addressed by the current existing legislation, and how best we can amend that piece of legislation to begin to actually look at some of these things. And there are quite exciting things that are coming out of that process. One of the things that we have looked at, for instance, if you look at slide number 56, it's talking about formal inquiry into markets, where we can be able even talk about market inquiries, where you find dominant firms, where they begin to actually cluster their operations in such a way that they squeeze out small businesses. You can be able to institute a market inquiry to begin to say what is happening in terms of issues that point to uncompetitive behavior that we can actually begin to look at. But here, one thing that we want to allude to this process of Competition Commission is that we are very mindful of the fact that Competition Commission itself and the tribunal is looking at the high-profile cases and the flooding of the issues and the challenges that are facing small businesses may be actually be constrained if we're actually looking at that only as the only solution. And therefore, we say we need to look at the particular alternative mechanism that can actually talk to that and be aligned with that and harmonize that particular approach as well. So we are engaging with economic development to begin to say how best we can be able to find ourselves in terms of coming up with the processes that will actually feed into each other. And Chair, as we go to slide 57, we also allude to the National Development Plan there, in terms of what it seeks to do, in terms of these jobs that we're supposed to come up with. And we're saying these jobs are constrained by these things that we are grappling with in terms of the dispute that we need to address by small businesses. But also alluding to the fact that given this, the Portfolio Committee and also find upon itself to actually deal with some of the matters that are arising out of uncompetitive behavior by big business to small businesses, and deal with the dominant firms that seem to be squeezing out small businesses. And these processes have been going on in the Portfolio Committee. We are mentioning just few companies that have appeared before this particular committee. Huawei, for instance, Cell C, Telkom, and all these other companies that have appeared before the committee. And we also appreciate the attempts and the fact that the Portfolio Committee managed to address some of these issues in the past. But we're still saying we need actually a legislative kind of it, or maybe a mechanism that will actually have a centralized point to deal with this particular matter. And then as we go to slide 58, it's still talking about that. But we also want to highlight the fact that the work of the portfolio committee is still to be concluded around these issues. I mean, in the very few past weeks, the portfolio committee has also touched on the or engaged some of the companies, and we say once it's concluded, we take interest into this particular work and the lessons and the learnings that we can pick up so that they can actually feed into the process of addressing the particular issue. Chair, now this is a proposal that we are coming up with of Small Enterprise Tribunal to be established so that in order to usher a change in how business resolve commercial disputes. And we're saying it needs to create an environment where disputes are avoided if possible, and where they do occur, they are resolved quickly, cheaply, and in a way that preserves the best of the business relationship that is existing between those or amongst those businesses. And then we say the function of this will be to level the playing field of small enterprises in their dealings with large businesses and government by offering an accessible and effective and to some extent affordable dispute resolution mechanism, as opposed to some of the arrangements that I've touched upon as I was doing my presentation. And we talked about the fact that we need to anchor the current cooperative dispute resolution to actually this process so that we can actually begin to subsume some of the elements of the enterprises or enterprise issues to that particular tribunal. And then slide number 60 does talk about the proposal in terms of the establishment of that tribunal and the services that it's supposed to offer to small businesses in terms of leveling the playing field, adjudication that's supposed to happen, assistance in dispute resolution matters, and also providing advisory where and whenever it is needed. And on slide number 61, we're saying there are particular institutional mechanism that we have to look at in terms of looking at the benchmarking and also the existing mechanism that is there that can actually beef up that particular, intervention. And then slide number 62 talks about the small enterprise tribunal should be able to intervene at early stage, as we said, so that there are prospects of retaining the relationship between the disputing parties. We have already talked about that, Chair. And then the tribunal will protect the confidentiality of information and records and finances of SMMEs so that we can be able to actually sort of protect the identity of those enterprises that are actually bringing these complaints to the fore in line of those pieces of legislation, POPI, PIA, and PAJA, as mentioned down there. And then we allude to the status to date, and I'm pointing to the fact that the regulation for the alternative dispute resolution, we're looking at finalizing these by the end of the year, and also drafting the bill by 2019. But let me go to the recap where I actually encapsulate all these things. As we recap, Chair, we talk about the bill that will be redrafted and finalized by March 2019. And schedule one of the acts, as I talked about, the review of that schedule, that is going to be gazetted for public comment by September 2018. We talk about the Schedule 1 will be also launched, which we actually proposing to launch during the Global Entrepreneurship Month in November 2018. And also we talk about regulations for alternative dispute resolution, which is the core part of this particular work that we are presenting. And we're planning to finalize this by December 2018. So these are the timelines that we are putting upon ourselves. Honorable Chair, let me thank you and close my presentation on that point.
Thank you. I hand over back to the Deputy Minister.
Thanks, Chair. That is the presentation as presented by the acting DDG. Thank you. We hope it will be useful for the committee.
Thank you. Before I allow members to ask questions and comment, I think that I need to make an observation here that it is very, very important for the department to constantly report to the portfolio committee the work that the department is doing. Because if one listens to this presentation, there is a lot of work that has been covered, there is a lot of ground that has been covered, and there is also consideration from the department side of the work that the portfolio committee was doing in engaging with the big businesses after having received complaints from small businesses. But until the proposed private members bill, the portfolio committee was in the dark as to what work was being done by the department and how the department was relating to the work that was being done by the portfolio committee in unearthing the problems that are faced by small businesses. The point I'm making here is that we need to feed information to each other so that we can appreciate the work that is done. We are two different structures, but we are all responsible for development of small businesses. And when one listens to this presentation, one cannot ignore the fact that a lot of work has been done by the department, while also there is a lot of work that has been done by the portfolio committee. And until a private member's bill was proposed, there was no communication between the two structures. Even when the portfolio committee was having a tracking tool, saying to the department, in terms of legislation, you are on the red, you appear on the red. The department did not come back to us to say, we either, under legislation, you either, as a tracking tool of the portfolio committee, should put us on yellow, which is work in progress, rather than put us on the red. And I think that that is very, very important because it provides an opportunity for the portfolio committee to understand what the department is doing and also to appreciate the work that is being done by the department in addressing issues that are facing small businesses. I thought that it is important to make that observation before I allow members to then ask questions and deliberate on what has been presented, taking to what was presented also last week. I will now take hands from members. Honorable Kruger, followed by Honorable Mabaso, and Honorable Chan, then followed by Honorable
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I'm sort of covered by your inserts. I was just wondering, on one stage, I think it was page 11, we were talking about the draft bill by the department. And I was wondering, why did we never see that draft bill? I mean, surely, if there's a draft bill, it must be on paper already. And we talk a lot about in this presentation about stakeholders, but I think that the most important stakeholder is this committee. And we never saw a draft before. We didn't know even a draft exists. And I'm just wondering why all of a sudden it come up now that there is a draft. I would like to see that draft. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I think I would help to respond to that question. The process of drafting a bill has been outlined on slide number 8. The whole process, legislative process. It is on slide number 8, slide number 9, slide number 10, and slide number 11. The portfolio committee only sees a bill when it has been passed. There's no way that the portfolio committee would have seen the bill. The same applied to the private members' bill that was presented by Honorable Chan last week. The portfolio committee never saw that bill. The only time it became aware was in May. So, the point here that I'm making is that what I see as a problem is feeding information, like when a department is called, Honorable Deputy Minister, to present the first quarter report, the third quarter report, the fourth quarter report. This should have featured in those reports. And it would have then made the committee aware that this is the work in progress that is being done by the department. If that had happened, the tracking tool that is used by the portfolio committee, where legislation and all the recommendations that come from the portfolio committee through the BRRR report and the oversight, which has been taken care of in terms of this presentation, would have then the color of that tracking tool, where it is red, it would have changed to yellow, because yellow indicates that it's work in progress, and green indicates that it's a completed, it has been achieved. That is the only way we would have seen that there is this work that is happening. But it doesn't take away the fact that if the department has done the work and then it has to respond to the private member's bill, then it is wrong for the department to come here and take us through the process that they have done. It is within their interest and within their mandate to come and tell us that this is what we are currently doing, so that we can see whether there is duplication of work or there is no duplication. I thought it is important for me to clarify that to Honorable Kruger. I don't know whether Honorable Kruger would still want to pursue this question. Sure. Honorable Mabas.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chair. Thanks. Greetings to the Deputy Minister and the Department officials. I'm expressing appreciation at the input that has been made, because indeed it shows that the department appreciates the challenges that are faced by small businesses, and that the intervention of the department is necessary, so that this is one indication that the department is seized with addressing the challenges that are facing small businesses in particular. But what also I would like to know is on the map, the route towards the conclusion of this bill, are there any threats that the department has noted which it could have to take care of, you know, in anticipation, or just to have that clarified, whether are there any anticipated challenges? But the second part that also I note are is the consultative processes that usually small businesses are disadvantaged when it comes to consultations, because when hearings are called, it's big business that usually has the resources to go or to come wherever it is invited, and that small businesses struggle to communicate their views. Has the department taken that into account, you know, as a possible threat? Because I will assume we want this at the end to be owned by all businesses. And especially in the context of a developmental South Africa, which is emerging, still emerging, struggling to emerge from the apartheid past, it's important that whatever gets done is so inclusive that it corrects the previous anomalies. So, you know, I would want to find out whether the department has any plans towards that. Then the last issue was that the one that was articulated of the late payments to small businesses, that now that is articulated in a categorical order, you know, you really realize that small businesses are not going to thrive and succeed unless the payment period penalties with regard to late payments of to small businesses is taken care of. And I hope that the bill will also take care of that. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. First question, page 16 and 17. Reference is made to a number of reports and studies. I'd just like to ask, who did those studies? Were they commissioned by the department? If so, who did the work if it wasn't the department itself? The page 18 refers to the integrated strategy on the promotion and entrepreneurship of small enterprises ecosystem. That study was completed in March, but so far as I could gather, having gone onto the DPME website, it hasn't been published. And this committee has been asking for many, many months now to see that report. It's actually critical to the functioning of this committee and the department that the contents of that report be made public and particularly be made available to this committee. So I'd like to have an answer on that, please. In regard to page 21, proposed areas of amendment, this is a very long list, if I may say so. It's going to make for an extraordinarily long act. I mean, in terms of the provision for the enforcement of the 30-day payment, that's already covered in the PFMA and the MFMA. It's got the various circulars being issued by Treasury. It's not so much, as you say, it's not so much that the regulations are there, it's the enforcement of it. So the question that I have is, what powers will the department envisage it having, or other entities having, to enforce those? And what will the penalties be for non-enforcement? Commit to creating access to markets. I don't know how that's possible within a bill. I mean, that's a huge thing that cuts across the entire economy. I don't know how you can legislate to give small businesses access to markets. I'd like you to give me some insight onto that, please. Promotion of clusters and networks. What do you mean by that? I don't understand what that means. Sharing of credit information between finances and credit, is that not the purview of the National Credit Act as opposed to the National Small Enterprise Act? Special tax treatment, I mean, this is extraordinarily broad. I mean, I'm very, very doubtful that this act could include all of these different things, because it cuts across so many areas of legislation, many of which are actually money bills. You know, they can only be introduced by the Department of Finance, by the Minister of Finance. So I'd just like to get some insight onto that, please. Promoting an entrepreneurial culture. How do you legislate that? You can put it into the preamble, no problem, but how do you legislate in an act to promote an entrepreneurial culture? Okay, page 40, the CEDA payment hotline. This hotline seems to have sort of faded into obscurity, non-existence. It seems to have gone away. It was with the DPME for a while. The stats that you give us are August 2016. What about after that? Why is it suddenly sort of just faded away? Page 49, you will have seen in my presentation last week that that since this act you referred to in the UK, they have set up the Small Business Commissioner as of December 2017. Just maybe you want to update your slide in that respect. The other big elephant in the room is the fact that the Cooperatives Tribunal was legislated in 2013, but it still doesn't exist. Nor does the cooperatives, nor do various other things, cooperatives development agency, cooperatives bank, all these things that were part of the Cooperatives Act 2013. They simply don't exist. So by the way, nor does the National Small Business Advisory Council, which was legislated in the 2004 Act. And again, despite repeated insistence from this committee and questions from this committee, and excuses from the department, this thing doesn't exist. So, you know, forgive me for being skeptical, but, you know, on the basis of evidence over the past few years, we're worried as a committee that promises made are not kept. Which then brings me to the feasibility of an alternative dispute resolution regulations by December 2018. And again, what is the enforceability of these regulations? What instruments? I mean, do you envisage the tribunal being set up by 2018? I can't see that, how that's possible. And then my final point, Chair, is with due respect again to the department, I was expecting the department to come to this committee with its observations and criticisms and comments on the private members bill that was tabled in May. Not a single word, not a mention in this presentation. It might as well not exist. So how can that be? I mean, how can the department propose its own small enterprises tribunal, which has many of the functions and features of the proposed small enterprise ombudsman service, but it doesn't even refer to it anywhere? I mean, it's like it's a parallel universe. This committee and the department might as well just not exist in the same universe. It's very strange. So I'd like to ask the department to comment specifically. Do they believe that ombuds service has many of the features, if not all, of the proposal that you proposed, that you put forward this morning. And what is the realistic, bearing in mind that this Parliament will probably be dissolved in March, what is the realistic prospect of this new Act, which will include the Tribunal and many other things, being tabled, let alone passed, 2020? Realistically, if you look at the process of legislation, perhaps the Parliamentary Legal Services Advisor, Advocate Benamova, can comment on that in terms of the parliamentary programme, the legislative programme. One of the reasons this private members' bill was tabled in May was because we were advised that any bill that was tabled after the end of May this year would not, or they couldn't guarantee its processing by this Parliament. So the likelihood of any bill being introduced, by the way, it won't be a bill by March, I can guarantee you that. Whenever this bill is introduced, I can't see it actually going into force beyond before 2020. That means another 2 years is lost in terms of small businesses having access to justice. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Papas.
Thank you, Chair. There's quite a number of questions. You call me to order when I come out of order, Chair. My first question would be that, is there any indication that this Act itself originated under the custodianship of DTI? And if that be the case, then what would be the implication to this committee? Secondly, are there any concrete suggestions of what can be done to the department, since there has been an identification that they are part of the ill treatment of the small business, besides the big business? There is that understanding. Maybe it's easy to make a law for private business and tell them that ABCD will happen to you. But now in this case, when the parents of the small business themselves, to some extent, victimize them, what is proposed? Thirdly, based on the experiences now that have happened after the Act was proposed, including the experiences that we have when we were having meetings with these Vodacoms and others, based on those experiences, do you think there are additional mechanisms that are supposed to be coming because of the such experiences now, because we have seen how they behave, how they victimize them, and how they dominate, and how they are strong over them, and therefore it means they have to be rescued. And that one concluded by thinking of maybe indication of possible biasness towards small business, in a way that one could be regarding it as positive discrimination. Something I know that it will anger the big business, but it has to be done. And I know that it will only be meaningful when you find them angry and complaining, then it will mean that something positive is being done for the small business. Now, do you think there might be some incentives in the process, or maybe within the legislation, that make the small businesses to find it safe to engage in business, being assisted or being protected with some incentives? And then the last one, as this committee, when this presentation is presented to us, what is expected of us to do with it? Thank you.
Honorable Mulawood.
Thank you, Chairperson. Apology to arrive late. We are attending another committee. So, Chairperson, I'm still protected, Chairperson. I'm being intimidated. Chairperson, I have a concern, more especially by this late amendment of this act. If you remember well, Chairperson, we start this department on the first term of this fifth parliament. Deputy Minister, we have been trying to cry aloud to the HOD about to adjusting the legislation in order this small business department can correctly work. But I'm very much surprised now because we are at the end of our fifth parliament now. It's like the department is starting to wake up now at the end of fifth parliament to amend this law. At the beginning of our portfolio committee meetings during 2014, there was a suggested by the Whip, Honorable Mavasa, about the naming of the department, that it include cooperatives. And I don't know how far with that naming processes, because when I peruse this amendment, I don't see anywhere where they are suggesting the department also to amend the name of the department itself to include cooperatives. If you check even on the slide number 28, the current processes, as they said, is still talking about the sizes of small enterprises, small businesses. There's nothing where we are talking about the cooperative in this presentation except on the first two, three, I think it's in the third slide. So I wanted to be clear about that also. Why the department took so long to amend this legislation? Is it lack of capacity, or what must be done so that the sixth parliament, when it comes to continue with this bill, because there's no way that we can complete these processes before the end of this term. It shows that this process will also go to the next parliament. So it would be good that we be told the reason for delaying these processes. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can the department respond to the question? Before you do that, Honorable Deputy Minister, there is a question that was asked by Honorable Chang on how one would legislate to promote access to markets. I thought that it was our understanding as members of this portfolio committee that there is a policy position that was pronounced by the former president, Jacob Zuma, regarding access to markets during the State of the Nation for 2016, if I'm not mistaken, the 30% procurement of goods and services from small businesses. That is how we legislate. So it is possible. I'm responding to your question that you say you don't know how, and I'm giving you an explanation that if you pronounce and make a policy that a 30% of goods and services will be procured from small businesses, SMEs and corporations, that is a policy. Then you check, follow up departments and SOEs as to whether they are purchasing goods and services. 30% of goods and services is purchased from small businesses. We also have an existing app in this country of replacement of imported goods by locally produced goods. 70% of us. That is market access. That is a policy of trade and industry. And if it is a policy of trade and industry, it then opens an opportunity for small businesses. Because it opens market access to local companies as opposed to importing 70% of goods and then only buy 30% of goods that are locally produced. So that is how you would legislate to promote access to markets.
Chair, you're 100% right. I'm not disputing that. But those acts or those provisions are already covered in other pieces of legislation. You know, the PPP, the Preferential Procurement Act, which is currently in development. I guess the question I was asking, and it wasn't a trick question, was how would this particular piece of legislation provide for additional things? I mean, I don't want to go over the things that are already there, which you've referred to. I'm just curious, and again, it's not a trick question. I'm interested to know how this piece of legislation in particular would legislate for access to markets beyond all those things that you've already referred to.
I think then my understanding of the question was it is not possible to legislate access to markets. That is what I understood you to be saying. And if I misunderstood you, I apologize. But the point that I'm making, firstly, is that it is possible to legislate across the market. Secondly, the point that I'm making is that it is not out of order to look at that from a small business perspective to say, in terms of the existing law, do we feel as the custodians of small businesses that those laws are adequate enough to promote access to market? I think that is the point they are making. Over to you, Honorable PM.
No, thanks, Chair, and thanks to the comments by members and the questions that they have raised. I think the observations that you spoke to before members could come and made additions and asked questions are appropriate for the purposes of assisting with the discussion that is before the committee. That indeed, if you are not cited to what is happening within the department, there is no way you will prophesize what we are doing. And that providing information to the committee assists the committee to effectively do its oversight role. And it's the absence of information at your disposal that contributes to what we are currently doing. This is as a result of us not interacting with the committee in such a manner that we assist the committee to effectively do its work. You said in your comment that in the tracking tool, there is a portion that is red where the department has not come on board to say, as far as the amendment to the act that has been there since 2003, where are we? We have been very quiet. And I think at some of the meetings that I've attended, the issue of an ombudsman, it might be in the meetings here or in the chamber, Honorable Chan did make a comment around this matter. And I think because we
we did not come forward with what we are doing, the committee had to sit with a proposed private members bill to deal with a challenge that small businesses are faced with out there, which is understandable why that had to happen. And I think as a department, we should take the responsibility that we failed the committee by not providing them with an update. Of course, the question that is justifiably asked, why are we not critiquing the bill? It's like we treat the effort as an irrelevant, something irrelevant. We don't even talk to it, and I don't think that is the message we want to communicate to the committee. We take note of that initiative from yourself, Honorable Chance, and I think all other members, they should take initiatives where there is a vacuum. Ours is to make sure that there is no vacuum. And that the presentation that we've presented here did not talk to the content that this is what you, this is the we are not presenting the content of the amendment. We are saying this is the process that we are going through, and definitely when we present, I think some of the issues that you have raised in the bill, Honorable Chancellor, you'll find them in what will be presented before you. And of course, when bills are drafted, obviously we might not be able to say this item is an item which Honorable Chancellor put in his initial bill, but definitely I think some of the issues that he's raising will find expression into the actual amendment bill. I agree the late coming is not appropriate because, we are in August now. And yes, we are campaigning. Just that the date has not been put of the elections, and clearly it will affect the bill. And I think for that we should apologize to the committee that we shouldn't do things that will make it difficult for the committee to conclude the work that it's supposed to do. Because I think the committee will be happy if it is able to have the bill passed and it being made an act even before we go and into elections. Because if that doesn't happen, the committee will not have been given the opportunity that it should have been given. I think we note what has been said, and we will try from our part to fast track the processes to ensure that even if we are not able, you are not able as a committee to have a final say before the bill becomes an act, but you should get the space to make your contribution, because the experience that you have gathered over time is very, very valuable, and I think it will only benefit small businesses if we make sure that everybody is taken on board. And we have heard the issues that have been raised about the cooperatives, the vis-a-vis enterprises, and I think we are also trying to explain that, because a cooperative can be an enterprise. It's just that the form in which it operates is not the same as a private company that one or two or three people can register. So, yeah, I think generally one can broadly respond in that fashion without going into the specifics of the questions that honorable members have covered, but allow the department to comment on some of the things that I have not talked to. Thank you, Chair.
So I just want to follow up on the Deputy Minister. If I look at the agenda, it says briefings and comments of the Department of Small Business Development on the proposed Small Enterprise Ombuds Service Program. That is the point of the agenda. So, and now the Deputy Minister says they don't want to discuss it. But I thought this is exactly why we came here today, is to discuss and the department's comments on specifically the Small Enterprise Private Members Board, Ombuds Service Private Members Board. Thank you, Chief.
I think the Deputy Minister has answered that, and the presentation has also answered that. It depends where you stand in terms of thinking and perspective. What the department has put forward is a broader perspective of transformation that needs to take place, issues that need to be considered, and then the issue of bullying of small businesses by big businesses becomes part of that broad perspective. And my understanding is that when they approach in that, when the approach is saying this is the amount of work that we have done, looking at a broader perspective, and what has been presented is one part of the work that we are currently doing. I don't think that we should say they have not responded. They have responded. And if they were only going to respond to the private members' bill without putting a broader perspective, we would not have appreciated the work that they have done. We would also not become aware of the fact that the very same issue that led to the private members' bill being proposed has been taken care of in the process that they are involved in. So it depends as to whether you want to have a narrow approach and only talk to the private members' bill, or you want to appreciate the work that the department is doing to respond to issues affecting small businesses. And if we were to look from a perspective of the department, we would all agree here, because they have brought in a number of issues, including issues that were discussed in this portfolio committee.
Honorable
Kruger, yes.
I appreciate the work that the department done, and it was an eye-opener. And that's why I said when it was question time, I mean, I think we are one of the biggest stakeholders and we need to know what they're busy doing. So I appreciate 100%. I'm just, if you say I've got a narrow mind, my narrow mind is on the agenda. That's all. And Honorable Chance said it straight. His private members' bill wasn't mentioned once in the presentation. And I hear what you say, and I agree 100% with you. But then, in the presentation, the department should have said, there's a private members' bill, but this is what we did. You know, take for comparisons between the two. But I hear what you say, and now my mind is also broadened.
I think you are correct. But again, I want to go back to the response by the DM that it covers that, and he also mentioned that it wasn't because they are looking down upon the work that was done by Honorable Chan. They do appreciate, but the approach then, what we need to be discussing here, in my view, is whether this process doesn't take into account what was proposed by Honorable Chan. Honorable
Chair. Thanks, Chair. I think you have been very, very helpful. You know, when people do, like Honorable Chan have done, he has done a wonderful job, in order to draft the work that went into that. I don't think it will be appropriate for us as a department to say that no, you should not have done that, say this clause is not appropriate, this clause is not appropriate. We chose an approach that says that this is where we are, and the things that we are doing are taking into consideration the issues that it has raised. As a committee, you must take a decision based on what was presented, and I think our coming in here is to assist the committee to arrive at a decision. So we couldn't present in a manner that we are prescriptive to the committee. We presented in a manner that we say, in the light of the issues that you are raising, this is where we are. And if we had come to you early to say this is where we are, this matter will not have arisen. It arose because we are not doing that, even though on the sideline this is what we have been doing. And for that, we apologize. And I think the committee must appreciate that, and of course you have already whipped us that we should have avoided. Now, in the light of what has been presented, the committee will then go into a committee session and then deliberate and say, in the light of what the department is doing, which is taking into consideration what we have on our agenda, we think this is the decision to take. And we can't say take this decision, but we think we have been helpful enough for the committee to can arrive at an informed decision. Maybe if we can allow the acting DDG to comment, and that might be helpful, unless if you are covered, acting DDG. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. I think you have covered quite a ground in terms of clarifying matters in terms of why this presentation and how it was packaged in this manner, as it were. And I think I wouldn't really contradict you in terms of responding to that, save to respond to just specific issues that may be required to be responded upon, not necessarily the broader view of the presentation that we've just done. And I think you have covered Honorable Chan quite very well in terms of saying the specific provisions that legislation, the amendment will bring, will be able to talk about some of these issues in a specific manner in terms of articulating why are we talking about amendment in certain parts of these of this particular proposed legislation that we are coming up with. So I'm not going to be able to touch on that. But just to respond, maybe starting from Honorable Mabasa, on the issue of the threats. Obviously, when you embark on a particular process, you always put the risks and you say, what is it that we're going to be mitigating against this risk? Especially and in particular if you're dealing with a process that involves quite a lot of players that are outside the department itself. So we have put some kind of mechanism, but you can always not put an assurance at the end of the day that there are going to be certain things that will be emerged that we can be able to deal with. But I'm saying in the process that we have mapped in this presentation, we have looked at quite a number of risk areas and threats that may actually come aboard in terms of overseeing this process to the latter in terms of the process map that we have put upon. And consultation, I think you're correct. Sometimes the small businesses, they find themselves not being represented in terms of these consultation processes. The reason why we normally consult at a provincial level is to particularly localize these consultations so that we're able to actually pick up pertinent issues that are arising at a very local level before you even go to a national consultation that is broader. That may not necessarily allow individual small businesses to be able to actually put their cases across. Elise, I brought a team of colleagues who are dealing with drafting here to deal with the issues as to whether the studies that we talked about were commissioned. But I would want to say they were commissioned by the department, Honorable Shans. Those studies were commissioned by the department, of course, roping in various expertise that we need from time to time as we commission those studies. But if there's anything that need to be expanded on that, I think Elise can actually expand on that. The issue of the review of the strategy as to why is it not published is because it's still within the process. There's a process that we embarked upon, I think, that we need to present this thing at a cluster level and before it can be published. Remember, this work is being done in conjunction with the Department of Planning and Monitoring and Evaluation. So they have their own lineup processes in terms of when do they start the review, where do they present it. They present it to us, of course. We are happy with the work that they've done. Now they are moving a step further before they can actually say this needs to be published. And I think colleagues will also pick up on the questions as I go along. Yes, the hotline doesn't exist. I think these are some of the issues of the financial constraints that we have. But we wanted to allude to the fact that as we move towards a new era or regime of coming up with a proposal around the tribunal, we want to factor in that the processes of the hotline. And I've made mention as I was presenting to say, I'm alluding to the fact that the hotline, while it was successful, it was touching only on the late payment. And there's a plethora and variety of issues that are facing small businesses. Hence, we want to anchor some of these interventions within the tribunal concept so that we can be able to address them within that. But yes, the hotline was discontinued because of some of the financial constraints that we had. I think Deputy Minister, you have covered me. I would really be repeating your articulation if I may really go broader, unless if colleagues have to touch on certain issues. I mean, even including the fact that why the legislation process is mapped in this manner, and then what is it that we're going to be achieving at the end of the day. And in my presentation, as I was recapping, I actually spoke about what are the things that we immediately want to achieve by March 2019. And I think that's the process we've mapped ourselves on. And that is what, in the very same long process mapping that we have, that those are the things that we can achieve given time, capacity, and all what we have. I think colleagues are fine, Chair.
Then there are questions that I think one of the questions that I noted was from Honorable Chapa. Most of the questions raised by him are more about questions that we would ask when the actual amendment to the Small Business Act, we would ask. I made that note. And then Honorable Laozi raises the issue of why the department took this long. I think I need to go back to, what happened before you came to the meeting, Honorable Laozi. What the observation that we made was that had the department when they are called to come and present the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter, the fourth quarter report, if they had included this work that they are presenting us in, there was not going to be a need for a member to propose a private member of this. That is the first thing. The second issue is that the colors that appear on the tracking tool would have changed from red to either yellow to indicate that this is work in progress or to green. But because there was no report presented to us which indicates this amount of work that has been done by the department, the color coding of the tracking tool did not change. And we should also thank Honorable Chan for proposing this, private members bill, because had he not proposed it, we would not have known what the department was doing, because the department was working there in that corner and we were furious this side and frustrated that things were not moving. So, and also on the, there is a question that was asked also by Honorable Chan. The Cooperative Tribunal was legislated in 2013 and it has not been established. I just want to assist members to also take into consideration that when the Cooperative Tribunal was legislated, this department was not in existence. The department was established in July 2014. And what then followed was the migration of the functions from trade and industry to the Department of Small Business Development. And the main focus of the department was the establishment of the department itself. So it was not going to be possible for a legislation that was legislated in 2013 for the department to implement it before the department itself was established, because it was this department that was going to be responsible for the implementation of that. And as soon as the department was established, then the department embarked on the program review, which has been presented to the portfolio committee. So I think that it is important for the members of the portfolio committee to acknowledge that transition of functions from the Department of Trade and Industry, including the implementation of legislation that was passed when the function was still with the Department of Trade and Industry, and the time that it took the department to establish itself, and also to then do the program review so that the department can then say, we are going ahead with this program,
we are not going to continue with this program. And those reports were presented to this portfolio committee. I thought that is important to make that that observation. Then the last one, the observation that I want to make is that when the fifth parliament, the term of office of the fifth parliament ends, and there is a fifth parliament that is established, it does not necessarily mean that the work that was being done by the fifth parliament cannot be taken forward by the sixth parliament. That is why when we end the term of office, we produce a legacy report. And the legacy report speaks about what we have done and concluded, and what is the work in progress, which then the new parliament will have to pick up on and conclude. So it is not a train smash. If I were to make an example, this committee said and decided that we wanted to undertake a study to Spain. After having agreed on that, we then said, no, we want to add a country in Africa, it's Kenya. When we were going back to look at what was done by the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry when it was responsible for this function, we discovered that the study tour had already been undertaken to Kenya, meaning that this committee then has to use that report. You can't go back to Kenya because there is already a report on this particular matter and issue that we were going to go to Kenya to look for. Because it doesn't mean that if a study tour to Kenya was undertaken by a portfolio committee on trade and industry when this function was still under trade and industry, that information cannot be used by this portfolio committee because it's a new department and it's a new portfolio committee of the fifth parliament. No, it's a continuation. So that then brings us to the end of the presentation. And then the portfolio committee will then need to engage now to the next stage. The next stage is based on what was presented last week and what has been presented by the department, what does the committee want to see moving forward? Is the committee continuing to process the private members' bill and then at a later stage process the bill that will be coming, the amendment of the Small Business Act 102, or you bring the two together? That is the decision that the committee needs to take now. Honorable Kruger.
Madam Chair, I'll sit here and I must make an informed decision. And I don't know what is the position of the department. Maybe the department must lead us here. And just because I haven't heard anything of the department, if the bill is necessary, the private members bill is necessary to introduce now, or no, most of the discussions in the private members bill is covered by our amendment bill. So if they can just give us yes or no, I mean, then I can give a, then I can make an informed decision. Thank you.
Honorable Ngabe, followed by Honorable Chan.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to colleagues and the department and deputy minister. In response to what Honorable Kroger is saying, I was listening to the deputy minister previously, when a few minutes ago, when he said they've presented the information to us. Therefore, it's us who should be driving the way forward. And I buy that, Chair. In any event, I don't think it can be proper, Honorable Kroger, for the department to come and tell us that stop that if those who are doing it, or continue with that one, because they are reporting to us. Once they present the information, we have our own information. As the lawmakers, we must make a decision. I won't be happy for the department to tell us what to do, because it's us who are doing oversight. And I don't want to say we are their bosses, but they are reporting to us. At the end of the day, we must give the way forward. I think we cannot pass the buck. The duty is with us as the lawmakers. Thank you, Chief.
Okay,
just 2 seconds. I never said that was my words, exact words, is that must give us a direction. So I didn't say they must decide for us. They must just tell us one thing. Is the bill going to be part of their bill or their amendments? Yes or no?
I think in our opinion, Chair, I will advise the committee that they should allow the processes of the department to unfold, and that the private members' bill should not be proceeded with on the basis that the amendments that we are bringing have taken on board the issues that they are raising. Thank you.
Madam Mitchell.
Chair, I think we have to weigh up the practicalities here of the possibility of the amended act or the new act being tabled during this parliament. Because if it isn't going to be tabled in this parliament, then I don't think this committee has any choice but to proceed with the private members' bills. I'm not saying that this committee today will be in a position to take a decision on the bill, because that depends upon the hearings that you, I think, have indicated that is necessary for this bill to be deliberated on and considered further. You know, the fact is that there's a piece of legislation tabled, and we're working on a promise, or, you know, but I don't think it would be prudent of this committee to simply base its decision on the possibility of a bill being tabled, particularly when we know that the parliamentary program is so constrained. This committee, there's no possible way in which in the current legislative framework of this bill, that the amended bill or new bill could be considered, let alone adopted by this committee. So I believe that it would be wrong to just set this bill aside, because its replacement by an amendment or a new bill is, again, it's a promise, it's not a fact. And I think the timing of it is very, very dubious at this point.
Thank you, Chair. You remember, one of my questions was now that there is this presentation, what is expected of us? Now that time has come. It says to me, given the existing situation of parallel processes for the same objective, that says this committee must leave the department to continue with what they are doing, but this committee must go and discuss that, given these processes, what is the right thing to do.
No, Comrade Chair, Comrade Japa covers me, because what we should avoid is parallel processes for the same objective. You know, because we must also note that expenses will also be involved. So if we take all that into account, we must say, out of these two processes, which one best suits as an element of the other? In my opinion, I think Honorable Chancellor's bill is suitably an element that would fit into the bill that is being presented by the department. It's not the other way around. So for that reason, I would think we should sharpen our minds and say, how do we panel beat the bill from the department such that the very positive issues that Honorable Chance was pursuing are don't fall through the fingers in the current department's bill. That's how I would motivate. At any rate, we are talking of one parliament. We can't say because there is a possibility that we may not finish, then we must come with what we see as an element of the broader bill of the department and handle that so that we finish it quickly. And next year again, you know, I would think realistically it is that the department's bill is the broader and Honorable Chance's private member's bill is an element, but that element will enrich the department's bill. So that's how I would
Honourable Chair. Chair, I just want to reiterate the point that the department has done its best today to pretend that it has a bill on the table. It doesn't have a bill on the table. There's nothing close to being tabled. And I just want to state for the record, Chair, that this committee will not consider a bill in the current parliament because it won't be ready. So the committee has to accept the responsibility from the small business community for having taken the decision, if it takes this decision, to drop the private members bill and postpone an important part of the amendment bill to a further parliament, which will probably be a further 2-year delay. Now, I think the committee has to ask itself the question, is it prepared to stand up and be counted on that point? Because there's nothing really fundamentally different about the tribunal that's proposed in the amendment bill other than it's called a tribunal, not an ombudsman. Obviously there are differences. But there is, you know, the fundamental point about an alternative dispute resolution mechanism is there. So, you know, unless the department can pull a rabbit out of the hat and show us a timetable that ends with a bill being tabled and adopted by this parliament, I think that we would be abrogating our responsibilities as a committee to just drop this private member's bill. I'm not saying it's because it's my bill, by the way. It's because this committee has to show some output for its effort over the past 4.5 years.
I think that what should be taken into consideration as a fundamental principle is that even that bill of the private members bill emanates from the work of this portfolio committee, Honorable Chair. And that was said very clearly last week. We were also not aware that you were working on the bill. We started that process in October. We started our process in 2016. Started in October 2017. We were not aware until May. This committee had not taken any decision that we have gathered enough information. To us, it was still work in progress. The portfolio committee was still on work in progress. That was said clearly last week. In the same way that the department is work in progress. now. We need them to take a decision that is informed by whether we want to go on record as having passed a bill that will be repealed when the bill that the department is talking about is presented. We can take that decision to say, let us continue with the members' bill, although we know that it is part of the Small Business Act that is going to be presented. And then subject the new parliament to a situation where they will have to repeal the bill, informed by the work that will be done in processing the work that has been done by the department. I also want to correct one thing here. This is not a promise. The department has presented to us the amount of work that has been covered, working towards the amendment of the bill. Work has been covered, there has been consultations that have been conducted. The only thing that led to Honorable Chan hijacking the process and proposing a member's bill was that there was no information that was presented to the portfolio committee that this is the work that we are working on in the department, and that has been acknowledged in this meeting. Now, are we then going to waste the resources of Parliament to process a bill knowing very well that it will be repealed when the bill that will be presented by the department, which the department has been working on? Because, Honorable Chair, the process is that after agreeing on whether this is a desirable bill, it does not mean that we will just take what Honorable Chan would have presented to us. We are still going back to do the very same process that the department has already covered. We are going to do consultations as the portfolio committee now, not as Honorable Chan. And there's no way that that process will be concluded this year, even though the bill was put in May. That process will not be concluded in this term. This portfolio committee has not made any consultation with anyone. And this portfolio committee will not subject this country into a bill that will be signed by the president, which the committee would not have had its own consultations. They are just taking the consultation process that was done by one member. It's not going to happen that way. So we have choices to make to say, do we want to come up as a committee that has passed a bill or rushed a bill, knowing very well that there are processes in place that are taking us that direction. And we do that knowing that bill, when the other bill comes in, it will be repealed. Do we want to do that? So it is a choice that we have to make. Honorable Kav.
Yes, can you allow me to repeat my proposal that now that we are here, we are informed, we still believe that a lot of work has been done. I was proposing that let's stop it here and go and have an agenda item that discusses exactly the way forward, given the existing situation that there has been these two parallel issues. Now we discuss that one and come with a decision.
Thank you.
Honorable
Mwab.
Honorable Mwab.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm raising my hand to support Ubab Kappa that we park it here and then we have a day. Remember, Chair, in moments like this where we have some confusion regarding our policy work, we consult our parties for advice as well. So tomorrow being the caucus day and other things, we've got more chance, I mean more t- time to express and report what is happening, because we cannot just unilaterally think in our own and take a decision. We consult. That's the nature of our work. That's the reason why I'm supporting Bamchaba, that we park it here. Then the next meeting, when we have this as an agenda, all of us will be clear, informed by the positions as well of our parties, but on the way forward. For today, we can note all information given to us by the department and the information that we have from Honorable Chair, and then we go for advices from our parties.
Madam Chair, I just want also that this is be noted that small businesses out there are very cold. They're suffering. And the little we heard from the IT or the communication industry, it's the tip of the iceberg. I'm in the agriculture committee, and just the forestry industry. I mean, those small businesses around forests are suffering. They're the poorest of the poor people, just because of one thing, and that's because companies like MTO and SAFCO are bullying them. And all over the place, rural areas, big companies are suffocating our small companies. And we must move on this thing. We can't let it hang in the air. Let's make a decision and make sure that the department is doing their work. Because I heard the same story of the red table, that the department will work on something. Now that's 2 years later. I don't even see something about red tape in their presentation. So it makes me think that sometimes the department is just saying things just to please the committee. So let's make sure that they start working and do what they're supposed to do, and that is to protect our small businesses. Not just develop, but protect our small business, because our small businesses are crying and they are out there in the cold. And as a department, it's their job to protect them. Thank you, Chair.
I think that the input made by the DM covers that, in a sense that the broader perspective of saying let us amend the Small Enterprise Act. And if we were to reflect on all the issues that they put there, it also relates to the red tape, in a sense, because they are saying let us look at the broader perspective and then zoom into issues that can be regulated and regulate the regulation that is applied when you have an overarching act takes care of all those things that you would have on a piecemeal developed different acts and processed different bills. And again, I want to appeal to this committee, and I'm glad that the DG is here, that all that has put us where we are is lack of information coming to our side. Because had we known that information, that this is the amount of work that was done by the department, there was not going to be a private members being proposed. There wasn't. It came as a result of lack of information and also lack of response to the tracking tool that flagged legislation as red. And if in the presentations of the first quarter report, second quarter report, third quarter report, there was this work presented as work in progress, that red on that tracking tool would have changed into yellow. And the time frame that Honorable Chance is talking about and Honorable Kuka is talking about would have appeared, because we would have then had a gunshot that is vague. These are the milestones. This is what will be achieved by this particular time. And then we will hold a department accountable in terms of the milestones, not in terms of the department having not done anything in terms of legislation. It is clear proof. What has been presented to us is a clear proof that the department has worked on legislation, and the department has taken a much broader approach than coming up with piecemeal of legislation. So, and also I want Honorable Chan to find comfort in this, that Honorable Chan has actually assisted the portfolio committee to say, when the department comes back to present this bill, the amount of work that Honorable Chance has done will form part of what the committee will then be processing. Also, I would recommend to the portfolio committee that when that time comes, if we are to decide that we are parking the private members' bill, the committee should also revisit the community scheme almost service. It is a South African Act passed in June 2011. Those are the lessons that we should be looking at to say, what can we learn from that? So the work that Honorable Chance has done augments even that community scheme almost service. And it will then also add on what will be presented by various stakeholders, the companies that we have engaged, the sectors that we have not engaged. Because Honorable Kruger is correct. We only have interacted with the IT sector and the construction sector. And there are many other sectors that we need to consult with. That on its own indicates that, hey, even if we wanted to go ahead with the ombuds service bill, we would have to start again and consult with all those sectors. The question that we need to ask is, do we want to continue with parallel processes, or we want to take a broader approach which has also gone through the processes of the department? The last issue that I want to comment on is that the process of the department is much richer than the process of our own members' bill. In a sense that if we look at that process that has been presented to us, there is involvement. It goes to the cabinet, Lekgotla, it goes to presidency, it aligns the alignment of legislation with government policies, and there are a number of other departments, the development of a draft bill by the department, cabinet and committees, that's it. On our side, on the private members' bill, we don't go through that process, which then means that at the end of the day, we may process a bill that will get stuck when the president has to sign it, because it has not gone through all those processes to engage other departments and find what other departments are saying. And in this presentation also, it was mentioned by DDG Mahoto that the process that is taking place in the competition is actually unearthing some of the issues that are going to enrich the bill that we are talking about. So for me, quality is more important than rushing to catch time and then say, yes, we did this, but at the end of the day, we have left very, very important areas that needed our consideration. So I'm not taking a decision for the portfolio committee. My argument is, let us apply our minds, and we will put that on the agenda as an item to say, on this particular day, the the portfolio committee is going to deliberate on whether this bill can be processed when we are also aware of the fact that there is a process that has been undertaken by the department. Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy with that proposal, but I'd like to just make two points. First, when we drafted this bill, we used the Community Schemes Ombuds Service Bill as the template. So that's the first point. The second point is, I think that it would be only fair for this committee to have the department give us a timetable that they commit to for when this bill of theirs is going to be tabled. In other words, taking that flow diagram, what do they expect to be the milestones for when the bill will reach at least the first step of that milestone? Because, they can't predict, you know, things are totally outside of their hands, but basically when will the bill be tabled? And then what is the, you know, having consulted parliamentary legal service, what is the sort of anticipated, looking at precedent, time when the bill in its fulminations will actually be passed and then be presented to the President for signature? I think that the committee, to have that information, would be very helpful.
I think that is a fair comment. And the department is due to come and present a quarterly report, and that information will be then included in that committee report.
Sorry, Chair. Just one other point. I think that we should also not try and, or not deliberately or undeliberately or inadvertently, string this whole thing out for too long, because otherwise we're going to run out of time anyway.
Honourable Chair, I would appreciate if you could allow me to chair the committee and lead. And I have made this on our one-on-one. I indicated to you the process. And that process actually takes into account that at a particular point we have to receive a report from the department. And having had this presentation today makes it more important for the department in the report of a quarterly report to report to us the milestone, because that report will actually help us to get an understanding also of how to move forward. So I'm not prolonging. I am following the manner in which we should be running portfolio committees. And this is not the first portfolio committee that I'm chairing. I became a chairperson of portfolio committees in 1999. And Parliament trained me very, very well. So allow this process to unfold. I know that you are eager. We have congratulated you for doing the sterling work. And we are not throwing that work out of the window. We are saying, let us approach this in a much broader perspective. There is an important issue. The House Chair phoned me when I was here. We're still dealing with the application, the approval, and I need to go and meet with him. We then have two issues to deal with: the issue of the adoption of minutes, and also the agenda item that was proposed by Honourable Chan. I would then ask us to deal with the agenda item that was proposed by Honourable Chan, because it requires a response from the department, so that when we are dealing with the issue of the minutes, we can release the members who are not necessarily expected to be part of that process. Honourable Chan.
Thank you, Chair. Just to bring you up to date, DG, I was asking the question, seeing as your contract expires at the end of this month, what is the stage, the status of the appointment of your replacement and the handover process that may or may not be occurring.
Chairperson, there's a, you know, the presidency is responsible for the hiring or firing of DGs, not in the hands of ministers. So there's a decision that has been affirmed in the recent circular. There's been a decision in lieu of the president's announcement in the State of the Nation that there will be a restructuring of government, that no new directors general will be appointed. So we had, in fact, initiated the process for the advert to go out as early as February already, but that has been stopped. So basically I'm saying it's not in ministers' hands, the decision by the presidency. And therefore, just in terms of handover, I have a responsibility that I'm very aware of to prepare a handover report, which I've discussed with my principal, and that there will be a handover report to whoever succeeds me.
Okay, thank you for that, DG. And in the meantime, can I then take it that Linda Quigley is going to be the acting DG in your absence? That is what has been proposed. Or is he still the acting DGG? I can't quite remember what is acting and what is actual, but he's currently the DG, the DDG, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it just would be nice to know, you know, what's going to happen now in terms of the reporting structure within the department.
Chair, as I said, it's in the hands of the president.
Can I close this matter? I think it was responded to, and let us wait for that time to come, and the department will be coming to us to present a quarterly report. We will see at that time as to who will be introduced as who by the principals of the department. So let us not rush for to know what will happen on the day when a quarterly report is being presented. Let's wait for that moment. Then I want to give a report of what has happened in relation to our application. In terms of the study tour, what we have been advised is that we reduced the number to 7, and there was a view. So if the number is 7, it would then mean that there will be 4 members from the ANC, 2 members from the DA, and 1 member from the smaller parties. And the criteria used to identify who has to go is based on the long term of serving in the portfolio committee, the consistency, your attendance in the portfolio committee. And that work is done by the chairperson and the management committee that is more of responsible for logistics. What we have then put on the application as a recommendation for 7 members is that from the ANC it will be myself, Honorable Mabasa, Honorable Papa, and Honorable Begwa. And those are the longest serving members from the ANC component. And then from the DA, the DA qualifies for 2 members, is the official opposition. And then in the smaller parties, we are recommending that Mugabe goes, based also on the fact that he's consistent in the portfolio committee. And then we are saying alternates should maybe a member from the DA not be available to go. Another longest serving member who has been consistent in meetings is Honorable Meshwe. We would recommend that he be considered, and if not available, then we would have another member in the name of Honorable Mulaoki. So that is what we are proposing as a delegation. Honorable Kruger.
Jay, yes, unfortunately I won't be able to attend this study tour because of party work. So I apologize. I wish I could have gone with. I think I'm one of those, the members that needs that information the most. But as it is, so I can't go, so you're happy, I'm happy to give my seat to whoever you decide that can take my seat. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. That is the composition of the delegation, subject to approval. I'm still going to the House Chair right now to have that engagement as to whether we are given a green light. Honourable Chair?
Do you expect to be given the green light or not today at your meeting with the Chair? And second question, Chair, are the dates that were initially in the program still the dates that are proposed?
The initial dates were from the 10th to the 21st, and the application that went is still indicating those dates to say the first week will be spent in the Basque region of Spain, which is Mondragon, and the second week will be spent in Madrid, because there are different levels of development between the two. And based on the fact that Madrid is more capital and Mondragon is more cooperative and community driven, and those are all the motivations that have gone to the application. It could be possible that the number of days may be reduced, in the same way that the number of delegations has been reduced. I'm going in there for that. Or it could be possible that we may not be allowed. I don't know what his thinking is, because that is the advice I got last week, that resubmit the application with these amendments, which we did last week on Friday. So last week I met with both the House Chairperson and the Speaker. The House Chairperson phoned when I was here. I phoned him this morning, and I then sent him an SMS, which he responded to and called me to meet with him. So I will hear from him when I meet with him, and the information will then be disseminated to members after that. But what is important for us now is to understand that should we be given, this is the delegation that will be going. That will be going. Honorable Chair. I said in a situation where member of the DA is not available, the recommendation is Meshu, and the alternate is also Meshu is not available, is Honorable Lau. What we then need to establish now is the availability of members, because that is what I will have to talk about when I meet with the House Chair and I get out of this meeting.
Yes, I'm available, Chair, since I'm told that my choice.
So, would I then be correct to say it's myself, Honorable Mabasa, Honorable Kapa, Honorable Lego, Honorable Chan, Honorable Meshwe, Honorable, and then we need to find out, which is the word that King will assist me with, the availability of Honorable Meshwe. And if Honorable Meshwe is not available, then it's Honorable Mulao. Okay, I will find. Then the next thing that I would ask members to do in addition to the study talk is to read the reports. There are reports about the you can download from Google. And I will ask also the secretary of the committee to prepare a package. There is a report of DTI 2009, the integrated promotion of cooperatives 2012 to 2022. There is also a report that was done which is titled Is Africa Become a Cemetery of Cooperatives? And then there is a historical background of cooperatives in Spain, and there is a historical background of cooperatives in Spain. Those would have been taking into account that we are looking at cooperatives as one of the pillars for facilitating the transformation of the economy to make it a mixed economy. I did not want to argue the issue of the cooperative under small enterprises until such a time that the members are exposed to what cooperatives are capable of doing, so that we can come back and argue whether we see cooperatives as small business or we see cooperatives as cooperatives. Honorable Chan?
Dealing with the practicality of visas, Chairperson. We all have official passports, but that doesn't get us access to Spain. What is the situation as regards getting visas?
Thank you. Firstly, I wanted to check from members whether do they have official passports, so that for those that do not have, we can try to go to Home Affairs as early as tomorrow. No matter what happens, you go to IR section here. There's a letter that they write for members who are traveling and not having an official passport. So it takes about, then we organize with Home Affairs here to process the passport, then which might take about 2 days. Then that is why I was saying, if possible, for those who do not have official passport, you can make an appointment for tomorrow morning, and then when those passports are paid, then there is a form, in a FedEx form, that you'd fill for a visa, because I learned that we should have a Schengen visa. So then we do that, and then when I was doing the research, because they were telling me that for members who, people who are staying in KwaZulu-Natal and Cape, they can do it here, and that's why I'm not staying in those areas, they must be able to go, but I'm still going to follow up with that. I'll communicate with the members as soon as I get that information. The first one that I was concerned on was the official passport. But the experience that we had when the chairperson went to Germany was that it took overnight to do a visa. If we are doing it for official local business, and yes, we did it here. And then, if the other thing, if you were issued a visa within 2 years, 2 years or 5 years, then you don't have, you can send somebody to do your visa, because they're still using those things qualifying. So now, if you haven't done it in 5 years, then the member will be expected to be there. So that's the information so far that I have. So communicate with the members if there's anything changes. I don't know whether. If it is approved, then if all members have got official passports, because in that visa you must have a passport number, so we can start the process of filling those forms to apply for a visa. If maybe there's a member who does not have an official passport, then we have to start with the member. But I think maybe we can proceed with those who have. Yeah, I think we can do that.
I will then ask the Honourable Member to come and share the latter part of dealing with minutes. We are 2:46. I will rush to the House Chairperson.
I'm going to have to be excused, Chairperson. Sorry.
We will then not have a quorum unless we get another member to be part of. We have to defer. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
I'm just waiting for that. I'm going to come to you today. putting yourself out there. We can't go on Australia.
Thank you.